Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Welcome back. School started. Yay. Parents, this is a complicated time, isn't it? It's everything gets complex, right? We have school schedules and sports schedules and dance schedules, and you pick up and you go over there and we've got our child there, and it just, life gets complicated, doesn't it? And then you add in just the complexity of relationships, right? Relationships are difficult, and so I said this and you said that, but how come when I said that you got all angry? And so therefore, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago in Proverbs, you know, trying to set a pace on navigating relationships, it's just inherently complex. And then you add in technology, you know, on one hand, I remember when I was a kid and when you had to go and you had to dial phone to call home, you know, right now you can actually text your parents, right? Text your kids, hey, where are you? You know, or just look where they are, right? And there's just a simplicity to technology, and yet there's a complexity to it too, isn't there? It's like information is coming in all the time, texts and emails and opinions and social media and political calls and holy cow. I mean, it's just so many things going on. And I think this season of life just seems to heighten this, doesn't it? I read an article this last week entitled The Complexity of the Modern Life. And I really appreciate this. It says, in the beginning, it was all so simple. Rub two sticks together, get a fire. Stick a pipe in the ground, get some oil. Trade a cow, get a llama. You know, it's just our society, based on ever-advancing technologies of all kinds, has become a seething morass of indecipherable interactions between mind, body, finance, and resources. Even reading that makes me exhausted because it's just, there's just so much going on. And then when it comes to following Jesus, do you find that this is true? I find this in my own soul, is that I really resonate with Paul when in Romans chapter 7 when he says, the very things that I know I should do, I'm not doing those. And the things I know I shouldn't do, I end up doing those, right? In the end, he says, who will save me from this wretched man that I am? Praise be to Jesus Christ, right? So you can imagine what the Corinthian church, when Paul says this, and I'm going to put this verse on the screen. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says, but I'm afraid. It says, I'm concerned for you that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity. Just stop there. That your mind will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Paul was concerned, and I think I share his concern for the church. We're moving so fast, and we're so in part of a complex environment that we've lost the simplicity of knowing and following Jesus. Well, our mission at Keystone Church is to help people know and follow Jesus, even in the midst of the complexity of our lives. Last week, Pastor Brent did the first in our Know and Follow series. He talked about the know. How do we know? And so what he did is he helped us with the three circles on the board. Do you remember that? And his desire was to help us go from lack of confidence to confidence in knowing who he is, in lack of confidence in being able to share the gospel, to confidence, right? From maybe confusion to clarity. Well, this week, what I want to do is I want to take us from complexity to simplicity. In knowing, how do we know and follow Jesus? Now, there is a little bit of a caution I'd like to give you, and it's this caution is this. If we stopped with last week's sermon, it would not be enough. Here's why. It is not enough to know about the gospel. It is not enough to know about the gospel. There's a massive difference between knowing about something and following something, isn't there? I'll give you two examples. What about a budget? Yeah, right? Most of us know about a budget. We might know about it. We might even know things about it. We might even know the spreadsheets about it. We might even have the program that we have. But to actually follow it is a completely different ballgame, isn't it? How about a diet? We know vegetables and fruits are good for us. But holy cow, to follow that, I mean, that's a whole nother thing. When it comes to the gospel, when it comes to Jesus, it is exactly the same concept. We can know about him and not follow. I do not want that to be true of this place. So guys, my desire this morning is to talk in the midst of a culture of complexity, to talk about the simplicity of knowing and following Jesus. And so last week, Pastor Brent introduced us to the three circles. Well, this week, because I will not be outdone, I want to introduce you to the three diamonds. Okay? And the three diamonds are actually just diamonds. They're representative of three simple questions. That's actually the title of this tool. It's three simple questions. How many of you have ever done a flow chart, like at your job or at school? Good. Here's a quick quiz. What does the shape a rectangle mean in a flowchart process? It's a process. Very good. Nice, got engineers back there. What about an oval? An oval is actually, it's a starting or an ending point, right? What about a diamond? It's a decision. And what this represents is three simple questions that push us to decision. So, here we go. I want us to push this to the first of the three questions. And so all three of them are going to have this as their beginning. Do you, and the first question is this, want to follow Jesus? So let's see if I can do this in a legible way. Want to follow, I misspelled it earlier. Want to follow Jesus. There we go. This is, and in some respects, this is even the most primary question. That's why the triangle is even just a little bit bigger. I want you to see this in the scriptures. I want you to see how this is fleshed out. So I'm going to read Matthew 19, 16 through 22. I'm just going to read this. It's not going to be on the screens, but you can look it up later, Matthew 19. This is the story of the rich young ruler, okay? And here's what happens. He says, and behold, a man came up to him. This is coming, came up to Jesus, saying, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, well, which ones? He says, and Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these I have kept. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. When the man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now I want you to notice here that the primary question that this man had to wrestle with was not his possessions, but was the one instruction, come and follow me, because he recognized, nope. And he said no to the invitation to come and follow. Here is a story of contrast. This is Matthew in his book, Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. And Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to them, follow me. And he rose and followed him. I love that picture. He's sitting in his tax collecting booth, right? Doing his job. And he gets this call. Come follow me. He's like, all right, cool. I'm done. And left. He left his business there and he went and followed. He recognized that this is not just a knowledge thing. I'm going to follow at this point. So that's our first question. The second question is this, do you know what Jesus says know what Jesus says. I'll put he here so you can read it. Do you know what Jesus says? This is an important, very critical question. This is John chapter 3, 1 through 5. This is Nicodemus. Many of you know this story. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Now, I want you to see, this is not just a Pharisee trying to say, "Oh, we know that you are a God." That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, he's coming at nighttime going, "I know there's a huge price here. I'm coming at night because I tell you what you're saying is deeply compelling to me. I want to know more. I want to know what you're saying here." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he could not see the kingdom of God." Well, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" Good question. "Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" That's really awkward. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." See, Jesus, Nicodemus wanted to know Jesus. So he came out and he says, "This whole kingdom thing, I don't get it. Can you tell me more? I need to know more of what you say." Here's the point. Knowing what the Bible says, knowing what Jesus says matters. Oh, how many errors have happened right here. Oh, how much division has happened in the church. How many people have gotten this wrong? That we, I want to follow Jesus, but I don't particularly know what he says, and so we go off in a particular direction. Some examples. Can I earn my salvation or not? Well, what does Jesus say about that? What about following authority? What if I don't like the authority? What does Jesus say about that? What about sex outside of marriage? Well, I know I'm not supposed to do it, but I don't know why. I don't know. Seems wrong, but I'm not quite sure what he says. We do that all the time, and we just may assume things without knowing what he says. This is the study of theology. Theology is a study of God, study of knowing, how do I know what is being said to me? But we can't just stop there, can we? This would be stopping at knowing. This would be stopping at knowing what he says. There's one more question that must be asked, and it's, do you know how to live this out? How to live this out? Okay, you just got to think about live this out, okay? Do you know how to live this? And I'm gonna go to a story about a father who had a demon-possessed child, which is craziness. And Jesus asked his father, asked the boy's father, he says, "How long has it been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. But help me overcome my unbelief." You see what's happening there? He's saying, "I'm here because I recognize who you are. And I know that you can do this. And you said, if I believe that he'll be healed." He says, "I do believe, but there's still a part of me that just doesn't know how to do this. Will you help me? Will you help me overcome my unbelief?" Now, I've seen, out of all the questions on the screen here, this is the one that I see the most. Because I'm in ministry for 25 years now, this year, and what I know is that we're in kind of a post-Christian society, right? Most of us have actually grown up in the church. We've gone generation after generation after generation. But you know this, you've heard me say this before. Most of you are first generation Christ followers. Even though you've been in the church, you came to Jesus here. And so plenty of us have stories that we know. All the flannel graphs. How many of you know flannel graphs? Yeah, that's funny. Flannel graphs. Flannel, you put things up on a screen. Anyway, I just think it's a funny way to tell stories. It's a great thing. You know the stories, right? You know what they are. But oftentimes, we just don't know what to do with them, right? Here's some examples. Jesus says, love your enemies. Okay, that's knowledge. I know what he says, but yeah, but how? How do I actually live that out? Don't look upon a woman in lust. Okay, I know that that's true. Okay, but how? I find this desire, and how do I actually live this out? That's the question at the end here. Do you know how to live this out? Well, these are the three questions. But where this really comes alive is when we apply it. Now, I'm gonna take you through three different scenarios this morning, three different kind of audiences that I want you to see this now come alive. And so this first scenario is for those of you who are disciple makers. It is those of you who say, you know what? I just wanna help people. I wanna help people know and follow Jesus. I wanna be able to bear their burdens. I wanna be able to speak into their lives. This is to you first and foremost this morning. But do you find, as I do very often, that someone will come to you and be able to, there'd be a scenario and you go, I'm not quite sure what to do with that. I don't know, right? Because you want to help, but sometimes it just seems so overwhelming. You're not trained, you're not a professional counselor or a pastor. So if someone came up to you and said, I struggle with pornography, right? You're like, okay, I would like to help you, but I'm not quite sure what to do. Here's my suggestion. Start here. Start here. And this is what it looks like. Friend, do you want to follow Jesus in this situation? Do you want to follow Jesus in this situation? And if the person says, nah, no, I don't. So we're gonna go down here. I'm gonna do a little kneeling here. If this is no, then your job is this, to share the gospel and to love them. Right? If someone says, no, I don't wanna follow Jesus, that's okay. I'm just here to love you. I'm here to care for you. And can I share with you what Pastor Brent shared with me about three circles? Because there's a design to this that I want you to know. But if they say no, it's okay. And if they say no, I don't want to know the gospel. Your job is to love them. I had a friend of mine up in Ames that was in my connection group. And he was in our Christian group for a long time, and they had a really bad time in their marriage. And I remember sitting at Buffalo Wild Wings. I said, brother, what's going on with your marriage? He said, I don't care. Oh. I said, do you want to follow Jesus in this situation? He went, nah. I thought, okay. And you know what I did from that on? We talked about football. Because he did not want my help. He did not want the hope of the gospel. And so from that point on, I just had to love him. I just had to encourage him and say, hey, how you doing? And I kept reminding him, hey, if you want to know how to follow Jesus in this situation, let me know. But here's the thing. Plenty of people will say, I do. I don't want to destroy my life and my family. So we're going to go yes on this thing. So there's the follow-up question to that then is, do you know what Jesus says about this situation? And very often, people will know that pornography is not a right thing, but they don't particularly know what Jesus says. And if they say, I don't know what he says. So here we are, down the no, guess what you get to do? You get to show them. You get to show them. You can say, hey,
Brother, let me just take you in here. Let me just show you what Jesus says. Matthew 5:28. But I say to you, if anywhere, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So what you're saying is Jesus said, if I look upon her in that way that I'm already committed adultery. Are you saying that if a woman looks upon another woman in lust, and that's adultery? Or if a same sex looks at another same sex person in lust, that they've committed adultery? Yes. And by the way, that's not my opinion. That's what Jesus says. Okay, that's good. I didn't know that. And by the way, there are scenarios when somebody will ask you, do you know what Jesus says? They say, no. And you go, neither do I. Let's figure it out, right? And then you get to dig into the scriptures together. Let's figure that out together. But it's very possible someone says, I do. I remember growing up, and I remember I'm not supposed to look upon a woman in lust. I do remember that. The next question is, then do you know how to actually live this out? Do you know how to live this out? And if someone says, no, I don't, guess what you get to do? You now get to model and help. You say, well, great. Let's do what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, hey, why don't you follow me as I follow Christ? Just let's come and we'll do this together. And you get to join together and say, this is what it looks like. I had a buddy of mine called me up once. He went on a business trip and he looked at something he shouldn't have looked at on his business trip. So he called me up, he called his connection group up, and he confessed it to his connection group. He prayed to God. He said, Lord, forgive me. Called me up and said, hey, I just want you to know that this happened. And I said, brother, I'm so proud of you for reaching out. He says, because the problem is I don't know how to live this out. When I go away, I don't know what to do. I said, I'll help you. I'll help you learn how to ask for forgiveness. I'll help you to know how do you practically put yourself in a place. Because I can show you what, because the battle is similar to me. I've wrestled with this as well. So what I do in those typical situations is I'll call a friend. I'll stop putting myself in situations where I'm tempted. I'll start putting things in my mind that remind me of what Jesus says. I'll model that for you. And if someone says, I do want to follow Jesus, I know what he says, and I've done it before. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just not doing it. Then you go like this. You know what I'm going to do? We are going to walk together. Do you know what I just showed you in the simplest form that I know how? Discipleship. If someone ever says, what does it look like to be a disciple maker? Help people follow Jesus. Help them to know what he says and then help them to live it out. That's the first scenario. Disciple makers, helping people, other people navigate this. But here's a second application. Navigating your own soul. Navigating your own soul. If you're anything like me and you see the craziness of your insides of the very, you know, the Romans 7 thing, the very things I know I should do, I end up not doing those kind of things. You know what I've found? The same exact three questions are exactly the same process that I need to take my own soul through. I have been at a level of frustration with someone in my life that I just want to get so angry, I'm just fed up. And I think, I'm done, I'm out of here. I've had that happen in my soul. You know what I've done? Do I want to follow Jesus in this situation? And do you know what I've said sometimes? No, it's too hard. And you know what I have to do at that point? I have to repent. I have to remind myself of the gospel. I have been saved by a king of the universe. I've been created by the king of the universe. I don't have the privilege of saying no. And you know what I do? I say, Lord, I am so sorry that my first inclination is not to follow you. Will you please forgive me? And then I go on to the next one. Do I remember what he says about the situation? And if I say no, That's often true. I don't remember. It's hard for me to get that stuff in there and then recall it quickly, right? Then I have to dig in. I have to find it. What I have found most often, one of the key verses for me is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things and the peace of God will be with me. I have to constantly go back to that and remind myself what he says to me so that I can follow him, so I can know. And guys, we live in an amazing time, do we not? We're in this Google era. Do you guys remember, how many of you remember the exhaustive concordance? It's about this big, about that thick, right? And if you had a problem with anger, you're like, okay, here we go. You know, and you saw all the different words. It was every word that was everywhere in the Bible. And you looked up anger and there was like 7,000 entries. You're like, oh no, what am I? And it was hard to do. You have the ability right now to have so many online resources. You can say, what does Jesus say about anger? What an incredible tool that we have to find out what he says for us. And let's just say, I know exactly what Jesus says. Philippians chapter 2, consider others as more important than yourself. You're right. I should have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, who emptied himself and became a servant. I know what he says. Then my next problem is, I'm struggling to live this out. And you know what my go-to at that point is? I have to call somebody. And too many of us are stopped right there because we're so afraid to confess and be open about the fact that I've been a Christ follower for 25 years and I don't know how to live this out. That's right, I don't. It is, I call my buddy Kevin Scheibe up in Ames. We've been meeting regularly for almost 12 years. And I remember it like it was yesterday. Him and I will go on motorcycle trips for a couple days. And it's really with that in mind, friendship, of course. But what we do in that time, I remember sitting up in Duluth at a McDonald's, and I remember pouring out my soul to him saying, brother, I'm so fed up with this. I don't know what to do. And he would say, can I speak into that? I say, please. This is how I've handled that in my, and I'm so grateful to a brother who pulled me aside. And you know what? There's oftentimes I say, I know what I'm supposed to do and I'm not doing it. And so what I need to do is I need to go back into training. I need to get my habits back in gear. I need to go back into the disciplines. And I need to have accountability to help us do that. But one of our elders pointed out something really interesting to me. And it's not something I had thought of when it comes to the three questions. That if we get to the end of this entire thing here and we still go, you know what, I still don't wanna. Doesn't the problem come back here then? Isn't the problem that I really just don't want to follow Jesus is that I'm really back to the place where I'm thinking I am my own. I'm thinking I can make my own decisions. I think that's very insightful. So disciple makers, navigating our own soul. The last one is for those of you who would say, I'm not yet a Christ follower. For those of you who are not Christ followers yet, and you'd come to this first question and you'd say, no. Do you want to follow Jesus? No, not yet. I just want to say, I'm so glad you're here. You have come to the right place because our job is to love you and to share the gospel with you. That's our greatest privilege, is to help you know and follow Jesus. And so we want to make that compelling because I've given my life to this for this because of the resurrection. I find nothing more compelling than the resurrection of Jesus, that I've given my entire life to do just that. I want that to be compelling to you as well. Now, some of you might say, I have questions. And that's fine. I want you to ask the questions, and no question is off limits in this place. But I also want you to understand. So you might have questions like, okay, what about the flood? Okay, was that a real deal? You know, I mean, the animals and the ark and all that. Was that real? You might be wondering about those in Africa who don't get to hear the gospel. Or you might be wondering about other religions. All of those are great questions. But understand, just like the rich young ruler, this is your primary question, and you might not have even known that. And we want to help you know that you the decision in front of you is to follow Jesus. And if you would say, let's just say today, wouldn't that be fun? If you just said, you know what, I didn't know that. I've had knowledge of Jesus, but I have not said that I want to follow him. Say yes, and then tell him that. Say, you know what, Jesus, I have not been following you at all. I want to follow you today. That would be awesome. Just do it. And then tell somebody, because we love to rejoice with you. And then your job is to now begin to learn what he says. Get in the scriptures. Go to the New Testament. It's about two-thirds of the way through. Start in Matthew. And just start reading and hearing the words that Jesus has for you. Go back to last week's sermon. Learn about the three circles. Learn about how we're broken and we need to repent and turn into the gospel and go after God's design, if you remember all of that. And then get into step one. Keystone, we just talked about that at announcement time. Step one is next Sunday. We'll have them plenty throughout the fall. Well, it's a great place to come. What does it look like to know and follow Jesus in this church? And then your charge then is to not stay here, but it's to move into now. Help me to know how to live this out. And I would say, get into a connection group. Because we have 42 connection groups around the area here of men and women who are saying, I need help doing this. And we're joining all together saying, to live this out is deeply challenging. Help me. We talk about spiritual family. Our second value is life application, learning how to live this out. That is what that looks like. Keystone, my hope is that we don't miss the simplicity of the gospel through the complexity of our culture and through the complexity of our soul. That in our hoping in some respects that this simplifies it down for you. If you're a disciple maker, helping take people through this process. If you're trying to navigate your own sin, take yourself through this process. And if you're new, if you don't even know Jesus yet, take yourself through that process of knowing and following Jesus. That is our heart. And that's what we desire for you and for anybody who comes through these doors. I'm going to pray that Jesus would help us to know how to apply this today. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, you know the depth of how the complexity of our culture and the complexity of our souls, and you know that to live this out is so challenging, and yet, your scriptures bring us back to the simplicity of, I just need to follow you, Jesus, today. And in order to do that, I need to know what you say so that I can actually make the choice to live it out. And then we're not supposed to do that alone. We're supposed to do that in community. Lord, would you get us to the place today where we recognize to know you is not enough, but to know and follow you is what you ask. And how can we not, after all that you have done, respond in that way to be able to say, we follow you this day. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you've done. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I don't know if there's any better picture to this idea of knowing and following Jesus than communion. See, this picture is for those who on the first diamond would say, I do follow Jesus. And so if you're this morning, if you'd say, I'm not there yet. I just want you to say, that's great. Pass it along. Nobody's gonna look at you. We're gonna look at you and say, wow, that's awesome that you're here learning. No judgment, okay? But this is for us. This is for us Christ followers. And this is the picture of him saying, I am going to give my life. I'm going to die for you, not just so that you can know that, but so that you can follow that. And so this morning, the ushers are gonna come forward and we're gonna pass it one time. So in the passing, there is actually the juice and the bread together. Go ahead and take that, hold that, and we're gonna take it together in just a little minute.